Well, hello everyone. This is Pastor Dawn Churchill. It is so great to be with you again today. I pray you're having an amazing day. And today I'm going to start a six-part series on the topic of fear. I know that sounds like a great topic to start off with, right? So I just want you to know that if you struggle with consistent fears, worries, forebodings, or even unreasonable phobias, then fear actually has become a stronghold in your life that has become a habitation. I'm going to say that again. If you struggle with these types of things on a consistent basis, then fear has literally set up camp within your mind, your will, and your emotions, and it now governs or directs all of your thought processes, your emotional reactions, your choices of action, or maybe even the things that you choose to refrain from doing because of fear. And whether you're a Christian or not, fear is a real thing in our modern day and age. Most people consider it an annoying emotion, or maybe a troublesome thought process that just keeps coming back over and over and over again. But fear can actually be the autopilot mechanism that's operating in the background of your mind, in your subconscious, even when the forefront of your mind, your thoughts, even when your hands and your feet are focused on or doing completely different things, the autopilot mechanism in the background can still be fear. And how do I know this is true? Well, if you look at our world, if you look at the pandemic that we've been experiencing for the last 2 years is mostly based in fear, not only in the way the media portrays it, but in how people talk about it from day to day. And so I'm sure you've heard this phrase before. It says, fear is false evidence appearing real. And while I personally agree with that, I will say it's not quite as simple as that. So if you have ever struggled with consistent anxiety or maybe even unreasonable phobias, or maybe you just are afraid to do certain things on a consistent basis, then I want you to grab your cup of coffee. I want you to pull up a chair, sit down, and let's talk about this for a second, okay? Alrighty, so while fear really is false evidence appearing real, it's definitely much more than an illusion of an alternate reality or outcome. Fear is actually a spiritual entity. It's a spiritual being, and it carries a specific energy attached to it. Now, without sounding too scary or spooky, plainly put, fear is a spiritual being in the form of a demon. Oh my gosh, did I just say that? Yes, I did. but it doesn't have to be that spooky. It has the ability, however, to speak to your mind, influence your emotions with an energy of anxiety, and thereby affecting your will and choices, and definitely influencing the things that you say. And those things that you say are often in agreement with fear's energy of anxiety. And then, based on all of those things culminatively, then you actually do specific things in agreement with those words. So this is called gaining the master's edge. And this is where I am week by week, not only giving you some encouragement, but giving you some golden nuggets and really inviting you into my world, so to speak, of learning how to be masters of your own mind. And really what I'm inviting you to do is to allow God to be the master, who governs your thoughts. He governs your imagination, your daydreams, your night dreams. He's the one that governs your words and your actions and your reactions. And it's from that place of security in Him that you are able to have complete victory in every area of your life. So back to the idea of fear being a spiritual being in the form of a demon. Now, sometimes in the church, I think that we give the demonic realm a little too much credit and we ascribe it far more power than it actually has. So if we look at Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, it says that Jesus said that he says, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. And he says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, but I want you to know that even though we're not going to do a deep in-depth study of demons and scorpions, but in most cases, demons are referred to as either snakes, serpents, scorpions, or other entities. And so Jesus said, though, that he has given us authority to trample over all of them. God, through his son Jesus Christ, through the finished work of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, has given us power and authority over every single power or darkness of the enemy. And many times, as Christians, we do not realize just how much power and authority that we have in his name. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 7 through 8, it says, Jesus told the disciples, he says, I want you to go out preaching, saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. He told them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. As he says, freely as you have received, freely give. Now, in the modern day church, sometimes, you know, we'll talk about healing the sick or maybe even raising the dead, but cleansing lepers and casting out demons, that's usually something we just kind of, we just kind of glaze over it. And mostly because largely in the body of Christ, we really don't know what that means. But what I do want you to know is that clearly God has given us both power and authority over every power of the enemy. And fear is definitely one of those that he's given us both power and authority. Unfortunately, most Christians are either ignorant, uninformed, misinformed, or completely without any understanding of how to take authority over what should only be a momentary annoyance from time to time in our life. But for many in this world, and even in the body of Christ, it can have a crippling effect on a person for the entirety of their lives. A little later on, I'm going to share a little bit of a testimony from my life, starting around the age of 3 or 4, and how fear began to creep into my life, and it began to take up residence in my life for all of my childhood and then into my 20s and 30s. Now, praise God, God has delivered me from that. I'll share that with you in a little bit. But the first thing that I want you to know is that fear is not from God, and it's not just an annoyance that you have to sometimes manage. So, for instance, I truly believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that every single one of us has the right to a sound mind. Now, a sound mind is one that is undisturbed. It is unbothered. It is secure. A sound mind feels safe. It feels at ease. It is not worried. It is not fearful. It is not fretting. It is not mulling over in its head over and over again. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now, the first thing I want to tell you is that if you are a child of God, and I hope that you are, I hope that you've invited Jesus into your heart at some point in your life, and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, then that's something that we can do on this show sometime. However, I want you to know that if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, then you have a right You have a kingdom citizen right as a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you have a father-daughter, father-son parental right, so to speak, a sonship right to have a sound mind because your heavenly Father is full of love. So I just want us to look really quickly at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says that, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, I'm not going to preach, but I am going to expound on this just a little bit. So, if God has not given us a spirit of fear, then as sons and daughters of God, it truly means that there should be nothing in our life that causes us to cower back in fear, nothing in our life that should cause us to be timid or fearful or cause us to run away or cower down in a corner. But instead, the Bible says that God has given us a spirit of power. I want you to know what that word power means. So this word power is the Greek word dunamis. And dunamis is a really important word. In fact, I love it a lot. I'm going to just share with you what it means. It means supernatural strength, power, and ability. It literally means inherent power that is residing in a thing or in a person by virtue of its nature. Now, in Genesis, it says that God created man and a woman in his image, in his likeness and nature, he created us. So because we are created in the image and likeness and nature of God, there is an aspect of God's inherent power that resides within us. We simply, in most cases, are very unaware of it. This same dunamis power is the ability to perform miracles. It is also the power and influence that belong to riches and wealth. It is also the power that arises from numbers and numbers of people and armies and forces and hosts. So this is no little insignificant power. This is literally the almighty power of God himself that is resident within us. Because the Bible says that if the same spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead lives and dwells in us, then it will quicken our mortal bodies, and it will also cause us, our mind, to be conformed to that. So back to 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love. Now this word love is the word agape. But it's a little bit more than just affection. See, when you understand that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High Living God, that you are not only created in his image and made in his likeness, but you, in his eyes, you are better than sliced bread. Like, I'm not sure how God does it, but each one of us he considers to be his very favorite. So when he looks at you or he looks at me, he's like, oh, there goes my son. There goes my daughter. When he looks on us with such amazing love that even until the end of eternity, we are still going to be becoming more and more aware of the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of his great love for us. And as a loving father, I'm certain if any of you have children or grandchildren, when they get scared of the boogeyman that might be underneath their bed, or they're afraid of the monsters in the closet when they're toddlers, what do you do as a loving parent or grandparent? Well, you go and you console them, and you tell them that you are there to comfort them, you are there to protect them, and there is no monster or boogeyman that's going to get them, correct? Well, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us just like that. And even if we're adults and we're fearful or fretful of something else in our day-to-day existence, he is right there. He has those huge, great, big teddy bear arms that just want to envelop us into his arms and into his embrace. and he wants to whisper into our ears, it's going to be okay, baby, I got you, right? So 2 Timothy 1:7 says that he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what does a sound mind mean? Well, I don't even know if I can pronounce the Greek word. It is sophronismos. But what it means is self-control and moderation. It is an admonishing or a calling to set boundaries around your thoughts. There's another scripture. I didn't prepare it for you today, but it says that we are supposed to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And so what that means is we make it obedient to the knowledge of God. So if we are walking in intimate fellowship with our Creator and Father God, then we should be living our daily lives attached to Him and attached to and receiving His never-ending supply of resurrection power. That resurrection power is referenced in Romans 8:11, where it says that if the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, the same dunamis power of God that raised Jesus from death unto life again, then that same Spirit will also give life to our mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. The Bible also says that the Holy Spirit knows all things. Did you know that if you will seek God, He will reveal to you secrets that He doesn't tell just everybody? He reveals more and more and more of Himself to those that sit at His feet and enter into that place of intimacy. So as our lives are attached to Him and we continue to receive this never-ending supply of His resurrection power, but we also receive the enormity of His love, and that is displayed in Ephesians 3 and verse 17. It says that, actually starting in verse 16, it says that He prays that we would be strengthened with His power and might through His Holy Spirit in our inner man. So that inner man, that is the most deepest place of your mind, will, and emotions. It contains all of your deepest thoughts. Unfortunately, it contains all of your deepest core beliefs, which sometimes there's a lot of fear in there that we have to root out. But it says that He strengthens us in that space so that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith, and we might be rooted and grounded in love. And as we are rooted and grounded in His love, we will be able to understand and have experiential knowledge of the height, the width, the depth, and the length of His great love for us. And as we begin to receive that on a daily basis, overflowing, overflowing, and overflowing, we will be filled to the fullness of God. And when we are filled to that fullness, there is absolutely no space for fear to reside. But again, as our lives are attached to Him, as we're walking in that never-ending supply of His resurrection power, the enormity of love, and soundness of mind, then we have the ability to walk in the mind of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" It says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Well, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Well, in my opinion, it means that we innately understand what Jesus understood when he walked on this earth. So Jesus understood that he was both natural and supernatural. He was both God and man. So yes, there is a carnal man or woman nature, you know, a fleshly nature that we walk around. The fact that we live in bodies and the fact that we have five senses is testimony enough that we are human, and that our bodies are temporal. But because the Spirit of the living God also lives within us, then just like Jesus, there is both a natural and a supernatural aspect of us. And I'm going to get into that in a few minutes. But I'm going to ask you a question. So if all of this is true, then why do so many people worldwide, both in the church and those who don't know God, why are so many people not just annoyed by occasional doubts, but often burdened or overwhelmed by debilitating fears, anxieties, and even crippling phobias? Why are so many people taking anti-anxiety medication, yet still only able to slightly manage the symptoms of fear and anxiety? Well, that's an answer that I am very well acquainted with. So I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony here, but I'm going to tell you exactly why so many of us struggle in this area of our life. And it's not just because we haven't read enough scripture or we haven't memorized enough Bible verses. The truth of the matter is because we do live in a natural world, all of us, at one point or another, have experienced at least one significant trauma in our life that allowed the spirit of fear an opportunity to get a foothold. It could have been the death of a loved one. It could have been a really horrendous car accident, or it could be some sort of abuse or neglect. But whatever the case, that incident or that circumstance, or possibly if those circumstances happened over and over and over again, it allowed the spirit of fear to walk in, take a seat, snuggle up next to you, set up camp, and build a lifetime of habitation in your thoughts, your emotions, your decisions, your words, and your core beliefs. Okay, so I'm going to give you just a snapshot into my life as a little girl, as a teenager, and in my 20s. So unfortunately, my parents divorced at a very young age, and my mother married my stepfather. And as I talk about this, I want you to know that I am completely healed from it. I'm so thankful and grateful that God has liberated my heart to completely love and forgive those that have wounded me in the past. But as a little girl, I lived in constant fear. So by about the time I was 4 years old, my mother was saying things like, I don't know if we have enough money. I don't know if I'll be able to get food for us this week, Donnie. So she was speaking all kinds of words of fear and doubt and poverty and scarcity and lack. And I was hearing these things, and it was causing fear to rise up in my heart. By the time that she started dating my stepfather and then married him when I was 6, she had already experienced many, many, many years of abuse when she was a child. And unfortunately, those unhealed parts of her psyche and of her soul had not been healed. And so in the chaos that existed in our home, there was a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of physical abuse. And then my stepfather, from the ages of 6 to 13, he both molested and raped me multiple times. I don't say that for you to feel sorry for me. I am completely healed from it. But what happened is that those circumstances caused a lot of fear to rise up in that little girl's life. And of course, that little girl was me. So I found myself constantly on guard. I never knew when I was going to get yelled at. I never knew when I might get beaten. I never knew what night he might come into my room in the middle of the night. So I was constantly on edge. I was constantly in a self-protective mode. And I was constantly scared. I was constantly scared that somebody was going to do or say something that would either hurt me physically, emotionally, or mentally. And then not as if that wasn't enough, my stepfather worked for a company called Caterpillar Incorporated, and they had been in the Central Illinois area for over 80 years. They were a very prosperous business, But my stepfather was a union member. And there was a point of time when I was seven, eight, and nine years old, that the union went on strike. And they were on strike for a year and a half. Now, I honestly don't know how much money my stepfather made at that time in my life. But I do remember that when he was on strike pay, he received $50 a week. That was all the income that was coming in the house. My mother was a stay-at-home housewife. We had no other income coming in. And I remember during that season that we lived on all kinds of government assistance, you know, food stamps and energy assistance, you name it. But for a child really should never have to be encumbered with the financial stresses of an adult. And so, but because my stepfather and my mom talked about it a lot, both I and my stepsister were often fearful of, you know, when we came home from school, we weren't always sure whether there was going to be dinner on the table. We weren't always certain if the lights would remain on or if the telephone would still be in service. So unfortunately, we grew up with a lot of fear. And so what happens is when that happens to a little person, it creates what I call a habit of fear, which is really more a habitation of fear. So that fear, that anxiety, it begins to take up residence in that little person's mind, and they begin to worry, they begin to stew in their imaginations regarding all types of fears and concerns. And those things can actually, a phobia is nothing more than fear on steroids. And so that is how the spirit of fear began to take up residence in my life. Now, next week, I'm going to share with you, I'm going to describe how all of that unhealed trauma caused a root in my life to where I eventually began to develop panic attacks. I was taking anti-anxiety medication. I'm grateful that it never turned into or escalated into an anxiety disorder or a phobia syndrome. I'm very lucky that Jesus found me before that happened. And after I fell in love with Jesus and I began to sit at his feet, he began day by day, month by month, and year by year, he began to calm me and quiet me with his love. And so he began to teach me how to not only take captive every single thought I had and redirect it, but he also taught me how to speak words in alignment with his word that began to frame my mental thoughts. The more I spoke those over and over again, the more I sat there with my eyes closed and imagined them coming to pass, it was as if faith began to rise up within my spirit and within my mind. And eventually, after a few months of really kind of working one area of that fear, I could stand up and say, I will never fear another day in my life. Now, is it that simple? Does it only take 2 months? Well, it depends on how deep your fears are. But what I do want you to know is that you can learn how to completely master and defeat what might feel like a monster to you, which really should just be like a little bitty ant in your life. So if you know what a gnat is, if you go out in the summertime, if you've ever walked outside and there's a gnat that just kind of keeps buzzing around your head, and eventually, if you're smart enough, you'll just swat it and kill it and hopefully it'll just go away. That is how insignificant fear should be in our lives. But in many of our lives, what has happened is through trauma, through unforeseen circumstances, that fear has gotten a stronghold, and unfortunately, it has created such strong core beliefs within us that now that is the autopilot that's running in the background. And because it's running in the background, even when it's not in the forefront of our mind, it is still helping to create the circumstances that we live in every single day. So if you want to learn how to start defeating this monster, you want to take it down from being a great big scary, you know, polar bear, and you want to bring it all the way down to the size of a little bitty ant, then I want to encourage you to visit my website today. I actually have a 6-week mastermind that's starting very soon, and it is specifically on defeating the spirit of fear. And I know that I know that I know that I know that after 6 weeks, not only will you have learned every single skill that you need to defeat this this entity, but you will be able, you will be on a trajectory in your life that fear will begin to cower at your doorstep, and it will start to run away from you instead of you cowering away from it. So the last thing I want to share before I pray with you is, fear is not supposed to belong to us. We are children of the Most High God. And as I said, He has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a spirit of supernatural power from His dunamis might and strength. He has given us the enormity of His love, that we are His children, and that He protects us on all sides every day, all day long, every day. And He has given us the ability to have a sound mind. So I'm just going to release a short prayer over you, and I want to encourage you, come back next week, because each week I'm going to give you a little bit more golden nuggets that are going to help you defeat this in your life. So in the name of Jesus, Father God, I speak over every single person, both male and female, young and old. I decree an open heaven of your power, your love, and the soundness of the mind of Christ upon each and every one of them. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of timidity, fear, must leave them now, flee from them in 7 directions, and never return to them again. Father God, where there is fear rooted in their core belief system, I thank you that by your Holy Spirit that you will begin to shed light on those dark areas within their soul, and you will make them aware of where they are entertaining fear. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we do not need to shudder at this thing, but Father God, your word says that you have given us both power and authority to completely trample over it and destroy every work of the enemy. So in the name of Jesus, Father God, I release over each and every one of them a grace and a strength to lay hold of the truth of your word. Begin to speak it with veracity over every area of fear that they are currently entertaining. And Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus for anointing their imagination that they might begin to imagine the goodness of God resting on their lives instead of any type of adverse circumstance that might cause them to fear. I pray all of these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, I thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit upon them continually, day by day by day, and filling them up with the fullness of God. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, visit my website at dawnchurchill.org and make sure that you come back to loveradionetwork.com every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Eastern. I can't wait to talk to you next week.